Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to our devotional that we're going to be doing today. And if you want to see more, you can go to our website at torahlifeministries.org to learn all about these wonderful teachings. So we're reading from the Suffer Well devotional series, and today we're going to be reading one titled, His Gates Authority. And we're going to start off with a scripture, Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5, that says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for Yahweh is good." Consciously right. His kindness is everlasting and His truth endures throughout all generations. Hallelujah. So that's the scripture we start off with, and we read the devotional and says, "Yes, my child, the gates symbolize entrance into the knowledge of the truth, that I am the sole authority in consciousness and in the courts. They represent my justice and reverence. Don't think for a moment I do not see the imbalance of your earthly scales. I call this brand of justice double-mindedness. Dishonest scales are an abomination to me." Proverbs 11:1. "But the day is coming. The day is reserved for the wicked. The day set aside for those who serve the sentences for the unjust yoke, the mental bondage that hung on the necks of the righteous." Psalms 149, verses 5 to 9. "Yes, the gate of authority shall be restored to my people. And know this, my child, only those who understand righteous judgment shall sit in the seats of authority. Be still and know, be still and hear. My quiet whispers listen to my still small voice. It is a remnant I am making ready now. I have been setting the table. The remnant who dines at the table will have no fear of earthly kings. Know this, loved one. My kingdom suffers violence. And I need violence. Consciousness aggressiveness for righteousness. Men who can take it by force." Matthew 11, verse 12. "Men prepared to suffer violence and willing to be spiritually violent in return. Why fear the courts of man, fleshly orders and rulings? Have I not told you that I will go before you? Read my words. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on Yahweh and keep his way, and he shall exalt you and inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it." Psalms 37, verses 32 to 34. I always do as I say. Only your inability to trust and therefore receive my promise is what leaves you subject to men. Oftentimes you desire to be justified in the eyes of men, and it leaves you at the mercy of the very same men you've appealed to. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, chose to appeal to Caesar in Acts 25, verses 10 to 12. What would have been the outcome had he not done so? Then Agrippa and Festus, the men could have been, this man could have been, literal translation, have been the power to be, set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Acts 26, verse 32. Trusting in man's judgment is a desperate thing indeed, and the outcome is never good. Read Shaul's entire trial in Acts 21, verses 30 to 26, 32. Take the hits, bear the wounds, and trust me to restore. Cease in your search for self-justification and self-preservation. I am the only true gatekeeper, and I have the final say. Leave it to me to judge for you, and soon I will teach you to judge for yourself. Your hired counselors cannot overcome the beast system that prevails. Only through thought, through my spirit, can do so. Justice is mine and justice is here. Now that is the devotional for today, and it talks a lot about judging and justice. And I tell you that a spiritual person is to judge all things, but the judgment of salvation comes upon Yahweh, and that's what he's speaking about here. But let me give you more of a understanding about the judgment system of the United States, or at least this world, or the man, versus the judgment system of our Creator. You see, somebody has to pay for a crime that is committed. Somebody has to pay that for a crime that is committed. And if you are a wicked person that deserves to be guilty, and you have a righteous judge, you are going to be in fear because you know you're about to get a sentence. And prayerfully, that righteous judge will keep you in line so you won't get to his courtroom feeling fear. But you'll be there confidently, knowing if you've done nothing wrong and as a righteous judge, you have nothing to fear or worry about. If you're innocent, a righteous judge is going to see that and you're going to be set free. However, if you have a judge that is not righteous, if you have a corrupt judge, you might feel good because you know that judge can be unfair to the righteous and might set the guilty free. But the scriptures have something very important to say about this. The bottom line is, the scriptures are very clear what righteousness is, and there's a result and consequence of living in sin. The guilty will pay for their crime. Somebody has to pay. And we need to be so thankful that we have a fair judge. And that Yahweh is just. And he treats us all fairly. But we must understand this concept of the righteous judge. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 6 says, Yahweh is just and he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Psalms 9 verse 8 says he will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with fairness. And Job 8 verse 3 says, does Yahweh twist justice? Question mark. Does the Almighty twist what is right? Question mark. Acts 10, 34 to 35 says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly Yahweh shows no favoritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with Yahweh through Yeshua, our Messiah, who is Lord over all. Remember, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. The fairness of our wonderful Creator, the fairness of him. And it says in Isaiah 33, verses 14 to 17, the sinners in Jerusalem shake with fear. Terror seizes the godless. Who can live with the devouring fire, they cry. Who can survive this consuming fire? Those who are honest and fair, who refuse to profit by fraud, who stay away from bribes, who refuse to listen to those who plot murder, who shut their eyes to the enticement to do wrong, they are the ones who will dwell on high. The rocks of the mountains will be their fortress. Food will be supplied to them, and they will have water in abundance. Your eyes will see the king in all his splendor, and you will see the land that stretches into the distance. It's beautiful how the scriptures describe the fairness of Yahweh. Even in life, we know life's not sometimes easy, but we look at the fairness in all things. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, again, I observed this on the earth. The race is not always won by the swiftest. The battle is not always won by the strongest. Prosperity doesn't always come and belong to those who are the wisest. Wealth does not always belong to those who are the most discerning. Nor does success always come to those with the most knowledge. For time and chance may overcome all of them. We must understand the fairness of Yahweh. And I follow Yahweh's example, showing no favoritism to others and being fair ourselves. It says in James 2 verses 1 to 4, my brothers and sisters, believers in our gracious Messiah Yeshua, we must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes to you in a meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man with filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you, sir," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Leviticus 19:15 says, "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly." Proverbs 31:9 says, "Speak up fairly, defend the right of the poorly and needed." And Leviticus 25:17 says, "Do not take advantage of each other, but fear Yahweh. I am Yahweh." We have to remember this fairness of Yahweh, and we have to remember that Yahweh is an honest judge. It says in 7:11 of Psalms. He is angry with the wicked every day. He's an honest judge. Blessed are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times, Psalms 106:3. This is so important to understand. It's when we think about this. It says in Proverbs 2, verse 6 and 9, "For Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints." And then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and good path. What are we getting down to? We have to understand justice and Yahweh and these gates that are spoken about in this devotional. There are evildoers in this world, and our Creator puts a sentence upon them. It says in the scriptures, if you truly love Yahweh, you can't love evil. When you accept Yeshua, something's supposed to change. That's your heart. Your heart's supposed to change. You can no longer love evil. Now you have to love righteousness. It says in Genesis 6:5, "And Yahweh saw the wickedness of man, it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts in his heart was only evil continually." You see, when we step in that courtroom of man, a judge can only judge our actions. When we step in a courtroom of Yahweh, he judges our heart. He sees things nobody can see. He knows our thoughts and everything, and that's what he's going to judge. This is what he wants in line with him. He doesn't want our sacrifices of animals. He wants our heart to be circumcised. And we see this in Matthew 15:19. It says, from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. If you're a person living in sin, consistently making a practice out of it over and over again, Yahweh will judge you. He's judged you with all righteousness. The scriptures are clear, and we can't twist scripture to meet our own definition or understanding. If you like to get drunk, if you like to practice homosexuality, if you like to smoke marijuana and get high, if you like to do all things and being unfair to others and cheat others out of money and all these different things, it doesn't matter if you're going to church. It doesn't matter if you're reading your scriptures. Your heart is not in it. When your heart changes, these things will stop. Not only will they stop, you will hate these things. But the heart of evil desires these things and loves these things. And the heart of evil is a fleshly human heart. But we must be pierced and circumcised in our heart so these things can change. And we start thinking with the set apart spirit and changing these things. It says in Matthew 5:8, "From the heart comes evil thoughts." From the heart comes evil thoughts. John 3:19 says, "This is a judgment. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil." This is why we need to die to ourselves and be transformed, to get rid of our sinful nature. And when we're standing in front of that courtroom, we don't want to have to fear the righteous judge. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked." You know, here's the thing. People say, "Well, Yahweh hates the sin but loves the sinner." That is not from Scripture. What it says in scripture is Yahweh hates all evildoers. Psalms 5:5. Not just what they're doing, but he hates them. That's why we have to be new creatures and born again, and he gives us that grace to be transformed. And that can only come by the wonderful gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart spirit that comes through Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Remember, and I'm going to keep warning you, when you're standing in front of a righteous judge, you don't want to have fear about something you did. Confess your sins. Be transformed. Repentance will save you. Psalms 92:9 says, for surely your enemies, Yahweh, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. And here's the key, and here's the thing. This is one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. So we understand this in a courtroom. Somebody has to pay for a crime. For one thing, Yahweh can't do his lie, and he says in Proverbs 17:15, he that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even both are an abomination to Yahweh. Somebody must pay the crime. And as we're standing there guilty in front of the judge, completely guilty, deserving the death penalty, that's where Yahweh stepped in. And he said, I'm going to give you another chance. But he couldn't just set us free. Somebody had to pay for the crime. That's the scriptural system. If a crime is committed, somebody had to pay. In the scriptures, there were some penalties that was your life. Yes, death was the penalty for many of the crimes found in scripture that we are guilty of. And he couldn't in his mercy just set us free, because it says in scripture, the wicked can't just be set free. Somebody had to pay the price. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Yeshua took our place on death row and paid the price with his life for us so we can have another chance. So we can get it right. That's it. That's the significance. We are guilty. Standing in front of the judge. He wants to set us free, but he can't, because somebody has to pay the price. And here comes Yeshua, and he says, I will pay the fine. I will pay the price, and not just with money, but with his life. And he gives us his book of instructions. He says, now go this time, and don't come back to this courtroom guilty again, because next time you're not going to have this free pass. Get it right. Get right with me. Get your heart right with me. Psalms 9:8 says, and he will judge the world with righteousness. He will execute judgment for all people with equity. Remember, he's a fair judge. He's a fair judge. It says in Proverbs, there are six things that Yahweh hates. And one of them is those that are quick to rush to evil. Proverbs 21:15 says, when justice is done, it is joyous to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. Do we understand that? That is the gate of his authority we're talking about here in the devotional. When justice is done, it is joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. We're already past that. He has come to set us free. He's come to set you free. He has set you free. Don't come back to the courtroom guilty. Don't come back to the courtroom guilty. That's the call for us. The first time he came for sinners. He's coming back for the righteous. Hallelujah. We can't come to him on his own terms. Proverbs 21:27 says, the sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with wrong motives. Proverbs 15:29 says, Yahweh is far from the wicked, but hears the prayers of the righteous. And Amos 5:22 says, even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. There's only one way, and through one way, through the repentant heart, that Yeshua makes his way available for us for the future. John 14, verse 6, Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father through me. We have to understand the justice of Yahweh. And what Yahweh's done for us through Yeshua. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies of Yahweh, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Yeshua, is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." New things has come. Yahweh's given us a new heart. And it's new heart with to love what he loves and hate what he hates. And we are to hate evil. Jeremiah 32:40 says, "I will make them with an everlasting covenant, that they will not turn away from doing good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, and they may not turn from me." This fear of being in front of that courtroom again guilty is something that will keep you convicted to live a righteous life. And you have the Holy Spirit there to guide you and help you. Proverbs 8:13 says, "To fear, the fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech." Psalms 97:10 says, "Hate evil, you who love Yahweh." Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil." Ecclesiastes 36:26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a true heart of flesh." Hallelujah. That circumcised heart. Remember this when we stand in that courtroom. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me, 'Didn't we prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And Luke 13:27, he will answer and says, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers." This is not what we want when we're standing in that courtroom on that judgment day. That's the last thing we want him to tell us. We don't want to hear those words from him. We understand about the wonderful justice of our Creator. And we understand how good he is. And if we're righteous, we're going to be just fine. Micah 6:8 says, "He has made it clear to you, mortal man, what is good and what Yahweh requires from you: to act with justice, to treasure Yahweh's gracious love, and to walk humbly in the company of your Elohim." Isaiah 56:1 says, "This is what Yahweh says: be just and fair to all. Do what is right and good. For I am coming soon to rescue you and display my righteousness among you." Proverbs 18:5 said, "It is not right to acquit the guilty or to deny justice to the innocent." Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do good and seek justice. Help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of the widows." Proverbs 17:15 again. Again, I remind you, this most important scripture: "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them are like an abomination to Yahweh." We must be right with him. We must be right with him. Yahweh does not twist justice. He's a fair judge, and he's going to give us what we deserve. It says in Leviticus 19:15, "Do not twist justice in legal matters by favor of the poor or being partial to the rich. Always judge people fairly." Job 8:3 says, "Does Yahweh twist justice? Does the Almighty twist what is right?" And Job 34:12 says, "Truly, Yahweh will not do wrong. The Almighty will not twist justice." And I say to you now, if you've ever stood in a courtroom in front of a judge, this man had able to sentence you to life in prison, to a death sentence or something else. And there's going to be some fear there, especially if you're guilty. But even if you're not guilty, he could still sentence you, because he has that power here on earth to do that. But we have one that has greater power, and that is Yahweh. And Yahweh will judge us fairly, even if this judge fares us unfairly. Yahweh sees the truth and he protects us. That same fear and awe you would give a judge in a courtroom, you stand when he walks in, you respect him because you want him to give you a righteous judgment. Well, we need to do a million times more righteousness and fairness and awe and praise to our Heavenly Father, who's the real judge and who can overrule anything. He's the real Supreme Court. and we could appeal to him every single time, and he will give us a righteous, fair trial and a righteous, fair judgment. So we must have this circumcised heart. We must, because he gives everyone what they deserve, as it says in Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. I will proclaim the name of Yahweh and his glorious, how glorious he is. He is our rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is faithful. Yahweh who does no wrong. How just and upright is he? Yahweh is just. Second Thessalonians 1, 6 to 8 says, Yahweh is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us, all us as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles 19, 7 says, fear Yahweh and judge with integrity, for Yahweh our Elohim does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or taking of brides. He is not unjust. He's a righteous judge. It's a beautiful thing. When we put our trust and our faith in him, he teaches us to judge fairly, but he judges us fairly. It's a beautiful thing. Psalms 7:11. I love it. I'll read it again. Yahweh is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. We must not be wicked. We must turn from sin. Turn from sin. Yeshua took that with him the first time when he set us free. And he became a curse for us and bore all of our sins. He set us free and gave us another chance. We must repent and move forward and understand this. We must get this message. This is the most crucial message you'll need. We should repent and become new and realize these things. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. But this wonderful thing that he's done for us and he continues to do for us. And never, ever, never take that any less than what it was. Repent and then turn to Yahweh, and that your sins will be wiped out. And times of refreshing may come, Acts 3:19. Repentance brings refreshing. To change your mind, change your ways, change your ideas, and understand who Yeshua truly is and what he did for us. What he did for us. He didn't just die. He died for us and took our place in that courtroom. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. And the time is coming again where we'll be standing in front of the judge, the true judge, the real judge. And do we want to hear him say, well done, good servant? Or do we want to hear him say, get away, I did not know you? That's the choice we have. Make the right choice and be confident and don't let anyone steal your joy away. Praise Yah. Have a blessed day, everybody. Yahweh be with you all and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Are you or a loved one unable to live alone because of medical reasons? Albert's Manor offers accommodations for seniors or persons with disabilities. They provide quality and professional care in a beautiful, safe, and loving environment. You can reach them at 772-626-3500.